her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it.
What a pleasant surprise. You know, not 15 minutes ago, I was told that we wouldn't have Chew this morning. And then I look over at my screen and, hello, Chew. Oh, jeez. All right, well, are you there?
Because if there was no technology, I'd have a day off.
So you are with us today. You are going to be hanging with us today.
For now. Internet is down there. Tearing down a bridge, a lot of flashing yellow lights. So we grind, though. And Gabe, you're the one that started it. You said if you were a true grinder, you'd make it happen. So here I am.
Here you are, yeah. Being a true grinder.
But he's already predicting that he's going to bow out shortly.
Well, because he thinks as long as he, you know, shows up for a segment or two, counts as grinding, and then if it doesn't work after that, that's not on him. He did what he could do to show that he's a grinder.
Oh, I'm actually looking at my phone battery going, come on, you die already?
Well, I mean, your phone's doing the best it can for you, pal. It's making you digitized, making you delayed.
Yeah, I know.
This may not be long for this world.
It's like those people who are finishing the Ironman competitions, and they're just like stumbling their way to the finish line. They're doing their damnedest to make sure they finish, but it doesn't look good right now. All right, well, let's move on to our topic this morning. It's happening. It's all happening, guys. After the performance that Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers put on Sunday night against the Steelers, all of a sudden, starting to hear those three little letters, MVP, MVP, MVP. People are saying Jordan Love should be squarely in the MVP conversation after week 8. Packers quarterback Jordan Love enters the MVP race after lighting up the Steelers. Jordan Love, MVP candidate for sure after Steelers performance. Headlines that are out there, people are talking about the Packers quarterback in the MVP conversation. Gabe, I'll go to you when we talk about odds and our friends over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Where do they currently have the Green Bay Packers quarterback when it comes to MVP of the NFL?
Yeah, they're not a place that agrees that Jordan Love is in the MVP conversation. Because the odds dip after the top three pretty dramatically, down to where Jordan Love is vacating the number 6 spot in their rankings.
Occupying?
There you go.
No, Patrick Mahomes, plus 140. Josh Allen, plus 350. Drake May, plus 450. And then it drops off.
Yep.
It's Matthew Stafford's plus 1,200. Baker Mayfield, plus 1,400. And there our guy is, Jordan Love, at number 6 at plus 1,500.
So, Joshy, you're our resident gambler. You do weekly wager every Wednesday with Ben Brust. Do you like those odds? Do you see value there? If Jordan Love can continue putting together performances comparable to what we saw on Sunday night throughout the rest of the season?
Yeah. I mean, it's all dependent on how he plays. Finishing top 2 in your conference is almost a must. So if the Packers end up being the 1 or 2 seed, Jordan Love will be one of the final 4 guys there. Right now, the numbers are telling us that Vegas doesn't believe, from what they've seen in recent memory of the Green Bay Packers, that Pittsburgh on Sunday is going to be the copy and paste throughout the rest of the season. But they could also be wrong. So plus 1,500, if you think the Packers have a really good chance at the 1 seed, he is going to be a 1, 2, or 3 finalist if they end up getting there. It's just a matter of how the Packers look throughout the rest of the season.
And it's not even just that. It's how does Jordan Love look in the big games?
Yes, correct.
Right? So this, to me, this Panthers game doesn't matter if he throws for 150, 200 yards and the Packers win by a bunch. It's fine.
It
right?
helps at the end of the season when you're looking at total numbers.
Correct.
Yes.
But if he plays like this on Monday night against the Eagles in 2 weeks, that's going to garner a lot more attention because you're playing the Eagles in a nationally primetime game. If he plays like that on Thanksgiving and he's one of the guys chowing down on a turkey leg after the game on Fox against the Lions, that's going to go a long way. Because the MVP is a narrative award at the end of the day.
Chewy, I know that you are mostly bet-averse after not doing well when you thought you knew everything about the NFL after leaving the league, so you tend to not bet. But do you like the odds that you're getting right now for Jordan Love? Is it something that you'd be interested in making a wager on, hoping that, as Gabe just mentioned, he starts to put together a bunch of these type performances, and then you've got him in at really good odds. You've got a good number there, as opposed to when he is one of the favorites.
Yeah, the odds are, I still have my gut up. I mean, if you go back to the first two games of the season, right, and a lot of that was because of the defense. We were sky high. We're like, and I was too. I was like, this team could really be special. And then the next 2 weeks, they kind of crapped eggs. So, you know, like we've been saying, like Gabe just said, he's got to stack these and he's got to have these type of games in games that matter against quality opponents. And I think if he does, I mean, if he plays like this against Philadelphia in 2 weeks, he'll probably jump to four or maybe three.
Yeah.
So we just have to see. I'm guarded. I'm just guarded right now because I remember we used to talk about Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones would have an unbelievable day rushing and receiving, and then he'd disappear for two. Can't do that, you know, especially at the quarterback position. So we just got to stand pat and see where he goes from here.
I mean, as far as the Steelers game goes, to me, like that was the establishment of, okay, maybe he can enter the conversation. Because that was another nationally televised primetime game, huge audience, a lot of people paying attention. Oh, okay, maybe Jordan's putting something together here. It grabs everyone's attention. Now it's, okay, can you back it up in the big-time games the rest
of the
year?
Well, and to your point about it being a narrative award, that's when it matters most. It matters when the nation is watching, when you're the only game on, when people can actually see you play. So all of a sudden, these pundits, these analysts who might not be watching every game of the Green Bay Packers, who might just be seeing a highlight package roll across their desk, are watching him play a full game, watching him play against Aaron Rodgers on Sunday Night Football and go, oh, crap, maybe we've been sleeping on Jordan Love. Like, there is that value of performing on that level in those games. Some of the numbers, guys, and I think it is worth diving into a little bit. Jordan Love is comparable from a completion percentage standpoint to some of those guys that you mentioned, to a Josh Allen, to a Baker Mayfield, to a Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes' numbers from last night's game are in here if this was aggregated before that. But the point is, they're not that far off. And I will tell you this, you know how important it is to protect the football, right? Guys like Baker Mayfield, guys like Patrick Mahomes, guys like Jordan Love are protecting the football, not turning it over. That obviously becomes a feather in his cap as well, where I think he probably deserves a little bit more credit for the performances he's put together. Gabe, you said that it doesn't matter at all what he does against the Jaguars, but I would argue that it matters
Panthers.
A little. Panthers, yeah. You know, those stupid cats down there in that region of the the region of the world. I would argue that there is importance to momentum. And that you don't want to have a stinker or a clunker in between those big two games because you do want to build momentum off of the performance you had Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the Packers win the game. Like, that's the in terms of winning the MVP, it's really the only thing that matters. You know, if they decide, hey, look at what James Cook did against this defense, we're going to make sure that, you know, Josh Jacobs gets a ton of carries here. And Jordan goes 16 for 20 and has less than 200 yards or something like that. I'm just saying that doesn't matter. Now, if he plays poorly, the Packers lose, that does matter. But ultimately, I mean, he could go out there and pretty much put up the same stat line and people go, oh, okay, it was against the Panthers. It was a noon game. It's not going to carry the weight that whatever he does against the Eagles, whatever he does against the Lions, again, maybe that Ravens game late in the season ends up being a primetime game or a nationally televised game when you're in your own window because they spread a lot of those games out on Saturdays and Sundays, so you have a lot of opportunities to have standalone games late in the year. It's how do you do in those games? It's part of the reason why Aaron Rodgers won four MVPs. Dude owned Sunday Night Football, was fantastic on Monday Night Football. Seemingly anytime the Packers were in primetime, Aaron Rodgers played some of his best football, and that led to him winning four MVPs.
Let's take a listen to Colin Cowherd, who was weighing in on the Jordan Love performance from Sunday night and what it means for the MVP conversation.
Jordan Love second half, on the road, standalone game against maybe a Hall of Fame coach, and a veteran defense that's as good a second half in that spot as Favre and Rodgers had. He is elite. arm size, mobility, accuracy. Combine that with Matt LaFleur's play design and the Green Bay smart front office. This is going to be a Super Bowl capable winning team for the next 5 years minimum.
So I'll take it one step further then, guys, because we did talk about Brian Gutekunst briefly with the Rodgers Love showdown and how Goody obviously was sort of a big winner in that thing, because I think a lot of people believe it was time to move on from Rodgers. He has not been able to perform at the same level as he did before Brian Gutekunst made that move. If Jordan Love wins an MVP, can you say anything about Brian Gutekunst and that decision to make the move from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love? Can you criticize that at all anymore?
No, but he's got to go out and do it. Everything that Colin Cowherd just said in that clip, I think we've all kind of said it, but what truly makes you elite is the ability to do it over the course of an entire season. We've seen flashes of this from Jordan. Again, like, Jordan played in the game on Sunday night like he did in the final eight games of the regular season the first year he started 2 years ago. We know that's in there. It's just, how often can he pull that out? And if he can do that on a consistent basis, yes, then he skyrockets up the MVP conversations. Yes, then he becomes one of these best quarterbacks in the league. That's the ceiling that he has. It's just a matter of, hey, just got to do that a little bit more often.
Jen, you mentioned his completion percentage, and I don't think we can spend enough time on the fact that it's jumped 6 points from his previous career high. Him completing nearly 71% of his passes is like a massive step forward. We spent a lot of time talking about his completion percentage and how it was lower than we would like. And now he is up there amongst some of the best guys in the league. And that's probably going to be a big driving factor in their offense just looking more competent more consistently.
So, Chewy, what does your gut tell you has been the biggest difference in the Jordan Love we're seeing right now? And, Gabe, to your point, we did see this. We saw this over that stretch of the first season that he played towards the end. What is the biggest difference why all of a sudden it feels like things are clicking for the quarterback? Is it him? He's just made the leaps. He's put the time in. He's been in the film room. He's worked on his footwork. Is it LaFleur and the way he's calling the offense? What do you think is the biggest difference between the performances we're seeing now and what we've seen before?
I think LaFleur's not coddling anymore. You know, even look at the first half of the game, he tried to start a run when the Steelers had the worst pass defense in the league. He's just got to trust him, and he's cut him loose. And what you do is you cut him loose against the Panthers, so he even gets more confidence. So when you face the Eagles, you know, you can kind of cut him loose there. I think LaFleur, there's a part of him that still doesn't trust him. Even though he thinks he's really, really good, he tries to coddle him a little too much. And you can see what happens when you just staff of the Pittsburgh game. You got to trust him. Yeah, is he still going to make mistakes? Sure. But when he plays, like, even with a mistake, it far outweighs being as uber as he was. And Gabe, I think you said it.
I don't know what he's saying.
Run is secondary.
I gotta cut him off. I can't hear him because he's digitizing again. To your point about the completion percentage, if you're wondering where Jordan Love ranks in completion percentage right now, he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the list. Drake May, number one, with a 75% completion percentage. Jared Goff right there with a 75% completion percentage. Tyler Huntley, who has obviously stepped in for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, has a 73% completion percentage. Lamar Jackson, who again we know is injured right now, 71.6, so 72%. Daniel Jones, 71, and Jordan Love, 71. That is the company he is keeping from a completion percentage standpoint. And again, I want to continue talking about those turnovers. I do think that that is not getting enough credit for a guy who we have criticized for kind of throwing it up in the air, right? And like not knowing when to just throw it out of bounds and when to, you know, live to play another down. He has been protecting the football this year, and that, of course, is a huge, huge improvement for Jordan Love. Gabe, last thing on the MVP conversation, and I want to be clear on this. This is not Jen, Gabe, and Chewy crowning Jordan Love as the MVP, but there are articles out there saying he should be squarely in the conversation. And Gabe, you mentioned the odds. He is top 6 right now, right?
Correct.
6th in the league when it comes to Pottawatomie Sportsbook and Jordan Love being an MVP candidate. That's what a performance on Sunday night will do to that conversation. It will change the tenor. It will change the dynamic of it. Do you believe Jordan Love can be the MVP of the league this year?
I think it's going to be a really big uphill battle because of the guys ahead of him. And Patrick Mahomes is playing some of his best football. I know he had two turnovers last night, but still had a really good game. Drake May seems to have that headline right now as well. I just think it's an uphill battle for him to win MVP. I think he's got an opportunity to really enter the conversation next year. I just think sitting there right now at sixth, looking at some of the schedules over there in the AFC versus some of the schedules that the Packers have to face. Yeah, I think it's just a bit of an uphill battle to climb from plus 1,500 that he is right now over at the Potawatomi Sportsbook all the way to winning an MVP.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Get us your reaction on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. And you can always add your comments in the YouTube stream on the ESPN Milwaukee page as well. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next. But if you are up for a game, Potawatomi Sportsbook is right there with you for all international games and matches. The Midwest's best sportsbook opens early. Place your bets, kick back, enjoy the show for an absolutely great time on an enormous video wall. Then you can grab a cold one along with food from a menu that is packed with flavor. And if you're not up for watching the game but you still want in on the action, you can wager on any sport, anytime at the quick service kiosks. Bet above the rest. It is only at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Gabe, they're dropping like flies this morning.
Unbelievable.
Dropping like flies. We lost Chewy to his bad internet connection. Well, no internet connection and bad phone connection. And now we can't get Jason Wilde. So we will just take a break until we get Jason and continue talking about the green and gold. We've been talking about the Jordan Love conversation of him in the MVP conversation. I would think that most people out there, fans, would be open to the possibility of Jordan Love winning MVP because it means that the team is, like you said, one of the top teams in the NFC. But I'm seeing a lot of reaction on the Carbless Talk and Text Line and on the YouTube stream saying, hey, pump the brakes. It's way too early. There's a thing that I think is happening here with the Green Bay Packers as well, that their record, because they have that tie, is misleading. I think it makes people think that we are not as far into the season as we are. And so there's this idea of, we need to see more. Do we need to see more? Yes. But I still think like we're at a pretty good spot in the league or in the year where we've seen a lot from a lot of teams.
The next time NFL teams kick out, well, I guess other than Thursday, but the next time the Packers play, we're in November. All right? Like that's strictly in the middle of the season. This is the part where Chewy's told us, okay, hey, early in the season, you're just trying to collect those wins, but you want to start kind of playing that best football. You want to start trending in the right direction. And a Sunday for the Packers, certainly a step in the right direction. Yes, they have to do this more consistently. Yes, they have some of those tough games left on their schedule. But, I mean, yeah, I think we're starting to get an idea of who the good teams are and who the good teams aren't. I know for a good chunk there in October, we were trying to figure out what the hell was going on because teams were losing weird games, teams were winning weird games, but I think we're starting to figure out at this point, okay, who are the good teams, who are not the good teams? And the Packers, sitting there on top of the NFC with seven games in, yeah, I think you can go, this is supposed to be a good team. You can have expectations for this team. They need to win the division if they want to be the team we thought that they were going to be after the first two games.
Let's go out to the phone lines where we do not have Jason Wilde, but we do have Caleb in Horicon. Caleb, good morning. Are you confident that Jordan Love can be an MVP candidate this season?
Absolutely. I mean, you need to take the training wheels off this guy. I mean, Matt LaFleur kept him on for the start of the season. This is a pass-first offense like you guys were talking about yesterday. I mean, we got weapons all over the place. You got guys like Tucker Kraft and Christian Watson and Matthew Golden. Get these guys the ball. Keep the ball in Jordan Love's hands, and he's going to win an MVP, and the Packers have a shot at the Super Bowl this year.
See, I like that level of optimism.
I'm curious to see if Matt LaFleur does put the ball in Jordan Love's hands. That is the thing I am most in. I don't think we could take the Carolina Panthers game as, oh, yeah, he took the ball out of Jordan Love's hands. I can't believe it. I know Chewy had just said, hey, you let him loose against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers run defense stinks. All right, much like the Steelers pass defense stunk, and it made sense to just unleash Jordan Love in the second half the way they did. It just makes a lot of sense to try to get that run going, game going against the Carolina Panthers, especially after the way they just performed this last week. You want to get that run game going because it's going to be important. But when you're facing the Philadelphia Eagles, yeah, let them go a little bit more. Instead of second and eight, you're running these little draw plays. You know, let's see what Jordan can do. Let him be the guy that you know he can be and the guy that you talk about him being in your press conferences. I think you have to start trending in that direction. Chewy said it all of last year. I think Matt LaFleur wants to be a pass-first guy. If that's true, they should start trending in that direction over the final 10 games.
Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line. Alan in the 414 says, way too early to talk MVP. After Thanksgiving is when this talk should start. And Richard in the 262 saying, Jordan Love, MVP this year, no. But next year, maybe. And then I think that Jeremy's point here is very interesting in the 920. I think we need to hold off on saying that Love is doing better protecting the football. The one pass, quote unquote, while under pressure, was heaved to Kraft and landed in his hands. Had the defender been paying any attention at all, that floater ball could have easily been picked off. So now we're doing the ifs and buts, candy and nuts thing, Gabe.
That was a calculated risk. That it wasn't a 50-50 ball. When Tucker Kraft is out there against the defensive back, I think Jordan Love knows, I think Tucker Kraft knows, that pass is either going to be incomplete or Tucker Kraft is coming away with it. And guess what? Tucker Kraft came away with it. Sometimes you got to put the ball up and let your guy go make a play. And that's exactly what Jordan Love did in that situation. He evaluated that side of the field, saw, oh, hey, there's only two guys over there. If I throw this ball, even with some air underneath it, one of two guys, and I love the guy that I've got over there. I feel really confident in Tucker Kraft being able to go make a play. And that's what he did. He made the calculated assumption that Tucker Kraft is one of the best tight ends in football. He's going to go make a play for me.
Keep getting us your reaction on the conversation. Again, Jordan Love in the MVP conversation. This is not a product of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's imagination. This is conversations that are taking place outside of this studio. We are reacting to it this morning on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Something exciting is happening at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. On the second floor, you will find the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails, Milwaukee's destination for bold flavors, fresh sushi, seasonal entrees, and cocktails crafted with care. Start your day with a breakfast that fuels you, stop in for dinner that sparks conversation, and linger late into the evening with drinks designed to inspire. Flavors and drinks for every mood. The studio is the perfect place to gather, celebrate, and connect. Be boldly social at the studio, now on the second floor at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. That's St. Kate the Arts Hotel at the studio. Sounds like we got some good news for you folks out there. We'll tell you all about it right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months?
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. It's Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus audio network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Here are the high-flying dunks from Giannis, the deep threes from Miles Turner, and the great blocks from Miles Turner. Catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus audio network. Find it now, bucks.com/plus, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working
for a living. When Matt LaFleur spoke yesterday, he handed out flowers. He gave props to several of the defensive guys. We talked about this yesterday on the show. The two guys who really stood out in his mind were Quay Walker and Carrington Valentine. Quay Walker, in part, not just because of the way he played, but the way he reacted, nay, did not react, when DK Metcalf stuck his fingers into his face mask and then grabbed him by the face mask. A younger, more immature Quay Walker might have reacted to that. He did not. Matt LaFleur praising him for that. And then Carrington Valentine, who we talked about yesterday, goes into the game. Nate Hobbs does not play significant snaps. Carrington Valentine holds his own. Matt LaFleur giving him credit for that as well. Do we have Chewy back?
I'm back.
And you're clear and you're good?
Yeah, I fixed it.
How disappointed are you that you fixed it?
Eh, I'm fine. It's just more my wife.
It's a catch 22 because on one hand he's like, you know, you guys thought I couldn't do it, but I did it. On the other hand, now he has to hang with us for the next hour and a half.
I did like we used to do the TV back in the old days. Just pound on the thing, and then it started working.
Smacked it on the side a couple of times.
Yeah. Got some tinfoil out, adjusted the bunny ears.
Yeah, the rabbit ears. Yeah.
Well, this makes me happy. Something that might not make Packers fans happy is that yesterday there was movement in the league. The Tennessee Titans traded cornerback Roger McCreary to the Los Angeles Rams. Tennessee is sort of an afterthought. They stink. But the challenge, of course, is that the Green Bay Packers might also need cornerbacks. And in that situation with the Tennessee Titans, they took Micah Robinson off the Green Bay Packers practice squad. Second time this year the Titans have picked up a Packers player. And Gabe, as we sit here and point to the deficiencies, the areas of concern for the Green Bay Packers, the cornerback space has been discussed. It has come up. Are you worried at all that this will affect the Packers long term?
No. I mean, if Micah Robinson was somebody that they truly believed in, he'd be on the roster. Bo Melton is on the roster right now. Guy who hasn't played cornerback ever in his NFL career. So I know that people, oh man, I thought he could be, I mean, if we do this all the time with guys that are seventh round picks for the Packers and, you know, maybe get a cup of coffee or on the practice squad. I always use the example of Charles Johnson, who was a wide receiver 10, 15 years ago at this point, where everybody thought he could be a big difference maker. And he went, I think, to the Vikings and lasted like five games. All right, like if Micah Robinson was going to be a huge difference maker, the Packers would have made sure he was on the 53, especially when they had open 53-man roster spots. So while he could have been an interesting guy that maybe they could have developed, if he was truly going to be a difference maker for the Packers, especially at a position that they need, they would have found a way to keep him on the 53.
I got to tell you, Chu, though, the phrase bird in the hand versus two in the bush comes to mind here. Because now they don't have a cornerback on the practice squad, the Green Bay Packers. So even if you might not have thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, at least you had a body if you do end up in a situation where you need them. Are you concerned at all about them losing a guy on the practice squad and still this being the position that we're most concerned about?
Yes, because then he's going to kind of replace the practice squad. And I believe that he's going to trade for a corner. Look, this is what the Rams are doing, right? And the Rams kind of have a history of they value a trade more than they do draft picks. But I think Goody's kind of has to keep up with the Joneses here because it could be a disaster. And I wanted to ask Jason, and you guys tell me what you think. Do you think Nate Hobbs is in timeout or do you think they've moved on because he's been terrible?
I don't think that they've moved on. I think it's timeout. They paid him too much money, Chu. They're stuck with him for the next year and a half. It's basically a two-year deal that he signed. I know it was 4 years, but the way that the Packers like to structure things, it's basically a two-year deal before they can get out of it. I'm guessing that Nate Hobbs is going to have opportunities. And LaFleur said yesterday that, hey, it's going to be a competition. It's going to be a competition. Those guys are competing for snaps. And he threw Keyshawn Nixon's name in there as well. So Valentine, Hobbs, Nixon, all competing for snaps from here on out.
But why wouldn't you, these next two, you know, the against Pittsburgh and against Carolina, why wouldn't you play him a bunch because they're very average receiving corps to maybe try and get him some confidence? I mean, you're not going to throw him in there against Philly. I mean, if he plays another four down, what happens if, let's just say, Valentine or Keish gets a little dinged up, turns an ankle? Then you're going to throw, is he the next man up?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, you don't have to go out and get a number one. You just need to get someone that can play. Break glass in case of emergency. I don't even know if this guy can play.
I also don't know if you can find somebody out there that can actually play.
Well, trading, I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying in trading. So this Roger McCreary guy, according to NFL Next Gen Stats, when you take a look at some of those numbers, he's slightly worse than league average. So he's just like an average. He's just a dude, right? He's just a guy.
Well,
where does Nate Hobbs rank?
I know we've talked about that.
I mean, he's probably down there, but at the same time, you know that Nate Hobbs can play at least the slot position. I'm guessing that, this is not the last we've seen of Nate Hobbs. And Chewy, as far as the Steelers game goes, like Carrington Valentine's playing well. Why would you take him out?
No, I know. I'm just saying break glass in case of emergency, in case one of these guys get dinged up. And I'd be wondering if they're... We wouldn't know because they kicked the reporters out if they're experimenting maybe with Bullard at corner and then put Hobbs in the slot.
I can't imagine.
I'm saying break glass in case of emergency.
I can't imagine they're pulling Bullard to the outside. I can't imagine they're pulling Bullard, putting Bullard to the outside. No. Like, if there was an injury to... it would be more likely he would shift back to safety, and that would open up a spot for Hobbs if McKinney or Evan Williams got hurt.
It is so incredibly hard to play a position your whole life and then go to another position and be expected to play, get thrown into the fire.
Well, which would you rather have, Chu? Would you rather have Bullard move from safety to cornerback, or would you rather have Bo Melton, who's made the move from receiver to cornerback? Which guy do you think has a better chance of success?
God, I don't know. I just, Bo Melton and man would scare the hell out of me. You'd have to play a ton of zone, which they play a lot of zone already. But in instances where you would have to play man, hold your left one and your right one and the middle one.
Wait, you got three?
Some people do. I'm back.
Yeah.
You guys want me to go away again?
You were the one who said this was good news, Jen.
Yeah.
You teased this as good news.
Kind of on you.
Before he started talking about triple testicles over here.
What did you expect?
800-990-3776. We are talking about the cornerback position. Yesterday there was a move made. Tennessee Titans, Los Angeles Rams, and of course the Packers were in the mix. Now, I guess this detail that I am seeing here on the Acme Packing Company is, due to NFL rules, Robinson must be a member of the Titans' 53-man roster for the next 3 weeks, but then they can choose whether or not they want to hold on to him, and if they release him, the Packers could add him back to their practice squad. Again, we are talking about in a situation where we think that the position is already thin. Chewy, you mentioned it. If there is an injury, mm-hmm. if all of a sudden you need to go down on your depth chart, right, Nate Hobbs is the obvious next choice, but he has shown that he is not performing well in those situations. What does it look like after him? This is just a little bit of the backlog at the cornerback position. Chewy still believes that the Packers will go out and get a cornerback before the trade deadline. I was looking yesterday, guys. Slim pickings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because cornerback is an incredibly hard position to play. Mm-hmm. And when you have good ones, even if you think you just have a decent third defensive back at cornerback, you're going to hold on to them because those are just so incredibly hard to find. And that's why I am one that is a little, I guess, dubious that the Packers are going to go out and trade for one, because A, we know Goody loves his draft picks. B, you have to find one that's actually worth trading for. The Packers go, yeah, that's worth giving up a draft pick. And the trade yesterday was pretty creative, the way they did the conditional picks and kind of pick swaps and all that sort of thing for pretty much an average player. And I just don't know if Goody looks at that and goes, yeah, we think that if we continue to develop some of these guys, they can be just as good and we can hold on to draft picks.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to develop, though, in the middle of the season, because the practice time gets easier and shorter because guys are banged up. So what you're saying is you guys wouldn't overpay. Because there's going to be...
Like, if there's a good enough quarter, Chew, I would.
There's probably six teams, Gabe, that are going to start dumping because their season's over with. That's why I'm saying maybe package it with Wicks to lessen the blow of losing the draft pick. You see, but you still have to guard that position because it's scary.
Well, you know? And I'm looking
around. And you know what, guys? You know what, Jen? If this was linebackers, if it was a position that really isn't as important, I wouldn't be worried. But cornerback is one of the most important positions on the team that you kind of have to protect. You need some insurance. That's all I'm saying.
Chef Ed weighing in on the Carbless Talk and text line, asking about Jair Alexander and then reminding us that he is done for the season. I didn't even realize that update on Jair Alexander. So, and then I'm looking around the league, guys, and you got Pat Surtain the second, who's expected to miss multiple weeks with a pectoral strain. Quinyon Mitchell for the Eagles, who suffered a hamstring injury earlier this month. Terrion Arnold, who's dealing with a shoulder injury. I mean, teams are struggling at that position as far as losing some of their best players. I don't know that they all would be in the market for a cornerback, but that certainly changes the dynamic of what is available out there. And you can't run the risk of any of those teams having a season-ending injury, and again, I'm not saying any of these are right now, but having a season-ending injury and then them going out and grabbing a cornerback that you might be interested in, that is all part of the game. It's all part of the dynamic that you have to follow. And so to your point, Chu, there are a lot of teams out there who are going to be paying attention to the cornerback market. We have to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have news about Jason Wilde. He will join the program, give us the latest on the green and gold. That's going to be in the second hour of the show. For now, we'll take a break. Be right back after this. But guys, when I need to get anywhere on time and in style, I use Accutrans Group, my trusted ride during my travels in the fall and our preferred transportation for Green Bay game day. At Good Karma Brands, we rely on Accutrans Group because they know how to handle everything from corporate travel to conventions to private events and tailgate. They'll learn your preferences, they're always on time, and they make booking simple. A veteran-owned, available 24/7, and deliver a fast, first-class experience every single time. You should use Accutrans because they will get you there in style. Check them out at AccutransGroup.com. That's AccutransGroup.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of a right tackle.
I have a question. Yes. I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj?
You tell us, buddy. On 94.5 ESPN.
Guys, about my closet, and I know you're thinking, Jen, what do we need to know about your closet? Well, you need to know who made it happen for me, and that's Closets by Designs. I've talked about how I would walk into the space and it was completely overwhelming, caused anxiety because I had too much stuff and not enough space to put it in. And Closets by Design heard my problem and they said, we can make this work for you, Jen. The personal attention is what really stood out. They took the time to understand exactly what I needed, showed me the options, and made sure everything fit in my space. And I gotta tell you, it no longer causes me anxiety to go pick out an outfit for the show on Saturday mornings. Even though they're a national brand, Doug and his team are in southeastern Wisconsin, based right in Mequon. They've got a showroom that you can visit. If you are ready to get organized, call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen sent you. I know this will come as a shock to no one, but I have to travel this week.
And, where are you going?
Thank you, Chu. Where are you going? So I was telling Gabe this yesterday. I have to do an interview with the BYU quarterback. Since we are doing the show, College Game Day, in Utah this week, I thought, hey, it's a great opportunity to do the old double up. Go to BYU, which is 45 minutes from Utah, you know, University of Utah. And I would be able to double up on Friday. Go chat with Bear. His name is Bear, on Friday, and then go do the show on Saturday. Well, that's not how it's working, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go to Utah tomorrow, and then I got to go to Utah again on Friday. And while I'm making my way to the great state of Utah, I'm going to keep this article that Joshy threw into the show sheet in mind, which is the best airport snacks ranked by popularity. You guys think you could guess the best airport snacks?
Yeah.
Really? I know you do your own fair share of traveling, sir.
Mm-hmm. It's not mine, but I know a couple people where...
Are you told what you can snack on when you go to the airport?
No.
Are you able to walk over to Hudson News and grab whatever you want?
My wife knows the only thing I want to nibble on the plane are combos. Combos are so underrated.
Yes!
So underrated.
Yes! What do you
get
go
the
with?
Pizza combos, yeah, that'll pizzeria change
pretzel.
Your life.
Pizzeria pretzel's the best one to go. Yes.
Yeah, that is very good.
I have never felt closer to you, big guy.
That is very good. But your point about them being underrated is well stated because they are not on the top 10 list of airport snacks by popularity. This is the top 10 U.S. airport snacks. Gabe, you got a guess?
I mean, it's got to be something like pretty simple, right? Like, I feel like people aren't going to be chowing down like a granola bar or something like that. You're going through, you just see like a Kind bar or something, grab that, give you a little sustenance.
Turns out people are not trying to be healthy walking through the airport.
All right, here you go.
But that is not
on
the
list. This is a lock. This is a lock. Popcorn.
Popcorn's a good one. Good answer. Well, maybe good answer.
If you're at O'Hare and you're swinging by Garrett's and you grab a little Chicago mix, it is not on the list, popcorn, of the top 10 U.S. airport snacks.
What about like Chex Mix? Chex Mix up there. Chex Mix or Gardettos.
Guys are really struggling this morning. Neither of those are on the U.S. top 10 airport snacks. Pretzels also not on the list.
Yeah, because you know you're going to get pretzels on the airplane, so you don't have to. Don't have to
buy them if they're free.
It's a good mix of candy and snacks, if we're being honest. Candy, but I will tell you, not a single healthy one on there. Not
trail
a single.
Mix.
What did I just say?
Trail Mix has candy in it.
Yeah, some of Trail Mix is basically candy.
Yeah. The ones that have M&Ms, I can't imagine, are actually, you know, healthy.
No. None this of those are on the list. Do you want me to start telling you from 10 up and see if you guys get an idea of what we're dealing with here?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, number please. 10 is gummy bears.
See, terrible. Gummy bears are, to me, that's too big of a risk, especially if you get the sugar-free
ones.
They're
fine, Joshy, in a certain form. That's it.
Nah, I see what you're saying.
Josh.
It took you way too long
to
figure that out.
The list is referencing Haribo, I believe, specifically.
Is it Haribo? Haribo? Yeah. I don't know. But
they got a big factory down in Kenosha. That's right. All I know.
Number 9 on the list is Cool Ranch Doritos. Number 9 on the
list.
That
one feels customary.
Yeah, standard.
It's like the most popular chip.
Number 8 is Welch's Fruit Snacks. And I know what you're saying out there, Jen. You said there is nothing healthy on this list. I'd like for you to take a gander at the ingredients of a Welch's Fruit Snacks.
They're basically gummy bears.
Exactly.
Is there a reason they taste so good? Is it the amount of sugar?
Not even a little bit healthy. Number 7 on the list is Dunkin' Donuts.
What?
So donuts? if there's a donut spot, if there's a Dunkin'.
Yeah, I think that's just...
That might be a breakfast thing, too.
Yeah, you're there early, you stop by Dunkin', grab a donut and a coffee, and then you're on your gate.
Is that because the line at Starbucks is way too long?
It is miles long.
Remember, you can order
ahead. It is 5:30 in the morning.
You can order ahead at Starbucks so that it's ready for you as you walk through security. That is an airport hack. Number 6 on the list is Sour Patch Kids.
Okay.
Now,
so all of the gummy based have basically been taken off the list. Unless you tell me like the gummy worms are on there.
There's no more gummies, but there is a chewy candy on the list. Just keep that in mind. All right, so I've given you guys 10
Starburst?
Through 6.
Starburst?
Yeah.
No.
Fruit roll-up?
No.
Fruit roll-up?
Can you guys...
God.
There are five
I haven't had a fruit roll-up since God
list.
Was a boy.
I just want you to think of popular snacks now, okay? I got two
Cheetos.
Cheetos are on the list.
Oh, okay.
There
attaboy.
You go, Chew. There you go. Now we're rolling.
That's
Cheetos.
That. See, I don't want Cheetos in the airport. Cheetos, because then you get the dust on your fingers. I don't want that at the airport.
So to me, this is part of the airport being that lawless terrain, right? So like the lawlessness is where I'm seeing the Dunkin' Donut come in as a snack, the Cheetos coming in as a snack, right? Because all bets are off when you're at the airport. Cheetos are on the list twice. You got the Flamin' Hot and you got the Puffs, number 4 and number 3 respectively.
Wait, so they didn't even have the best Cheeto on the list? Just the regular Crunchy? The Crunchy's better than the Puff. Tenfold.
Is it?
The Puff gets stuck in your teeth.
Yeah,
a whole
Puff
disaster.
Is terrible.
Are you not a Puff fan?
Not particularly.
God, those cheese balls that you can get, you come in the big container and you just pop, 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 pop. I don't buy them because they're dangerous. I will polish off a bucket by myself. So I try to have a little bit of restraint at the grocery store.
How about nuts?
No.
No nuts?
No. I know,
really?
For you, triple testes over there, I know that's a disappointment. Twizzlers are on the list. Twizzlers, number 5
licorice
on the list.
People are buying licorice. Twizzlers still?
Licorice is disgusting.
Apparently.
More than they're buying Trail Mix?
There's 2 left on the list, guys. This has been an abject failure across the board.
Yeah.
We got 2 left. One is a cookie. One of my favorite cookies.
Well, I mean, there's
world.
Only one cookie that's readily available. That's the Oreo.
Macadamia nut.
What the hell?
That's terrible.
The macadamia nut?
Nut.
You're walking into Hudson News and just, hey, I'll take one
those
macadamia nut
best.
Cookie, please. Well, yeah, but they're not available at the airports. You're not going to Subway. What are we doing?
What if you're going to Hawaii?
Goodness. One snack left, and I will tell you this. When I've been at the airport, as I mentioned, which is frequently, there is an entire wall dedicated to this snack. You got the jalapeno, you got the sea salt, you got the teriyaki, you got the all of the flavors.
Oh, beef
jerky.
There it is.
Beef jerky is a sneaky one. I don't want somebody on the plane having.
Nope.
Stinky.
Strong.
Stinky.
But if they're walking through the airport, that's okay, right? The thing about beef jerky is they have done an exceptional job of marketing themselves as a protein snack. Again, so you're thinking like, oh, if I'm going to make a healthy choice, maybe I'll, again, beef jerky not healthy. Like, just not. It's fine, but it's not like the sodium levels. Make sure you grab a water when you grab your beef jerky, gang. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. So the list was Gummy Bears, Cool Ranch Doritos, Welch's Fruit Snacks, Dunkin' Donuts, Sour Patch Kids, Twizzlers, Cheetos Flamin' Hot, Cheetos Puffs, Jack Link's Beef Jerky. I guess Jack Link's got the nod there. And the ol' Oreo, the best cookie in the history of cookies.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Oreo see, might be the only thing on that list teeth, I feel though, like Gabe. I've actually gotten.
I know. No, but you get schmeg in the teeth. That's the equivalent to the Cheetos on the finger.
Yeah, but I can. Cause but that's easy. You just take a. Because if you're getting food, you're getting water, right? So if the Oreo's messy in your teeth, just take a swig of water and you wash it down. It's fine.
Glurge it. All right.
Glurge.
Okay.
The great thing about the word glurge is I can picture it immediately. There's no question about how you're downing that water when you say the word glurge.
A gallon of milk. You just grab it and you glurge it.
Ryan from Aguadilla says, so they polled 10-year-olds, I see.
Yes, that's what it feels
it's
like.
It's a strange list. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. And again, I don't travel the way you do, Jen, but when's the last time you saw somebody with Twizzlers?
Again, the Twizzlers got a hell of a selection as well.
Well, you've seen them available. This doesn't mean somebody's buying them.
All right, here's what I'll do this weekend. Week. Tomorrow. I'll pay attention to what people are picking up at the old Hudson News for snacks at the airport. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this. Okay.